It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
California Wine Country with Dan Berger. Today featuring the great St. Francis Winery, one of my favorites. And we're going to talk about the late, great Chris Silva in just a little bit. There's going to be a, what do you call it? A tribute, a party, a...
It's called everything. Tribute party. Yeah. His vision of celebrating Sonoma County at the JC.
He was amazing. What a sad loss. He was a great friend of this show, too. But we've got St. Francis in today. And Dan, your thoughts on St. Francis, and then introduce our guest.
Founded by Joe Martin way back when Merlot did not have a bad reputation, and he was making some pretty interesting Merlots. In fact, early on, it was probably one of the top varietals that St. Francis was producing from down in Sonoma Valley. And the interesting thing, of course, was that Sonoma Valley was really unknown in those days. I mean, there were some fabulous wineries in there, but it was not the go-to area for tourism. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And then some years later, they decided you guys moved from down in, right off of, what was the name of that? Directly across the street from St. Jean, I guess, and then you moved north from there.
Right, just a few miles up the road, right on Pythian Road at the base of Hood Mountain.
It's a really pretty area. If you've been through there.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I married two different couples at St. Francis back in the day, in the 90s, I guess. I didn't marry them. I was the reverend who married them.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Yeah, I got two wives and two husbands. No, I know. I've been there, and it's gorgeous.
Yeah. Well, the hacienda that was constructed after the fact, I mean, you had a really pretty property down right across from St. Jean, and it was there for quite some time. What was it, about 15 or 20 years, I think?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Something like that. And then... and Joe had some change of partnerships, I guess, and then finally, who's the owner now?
Well, the Koff family owned St. Francis Winery, and he's who went into partnership at the time, yeah.
Chris, is it Luton?
Luton, yeah, perfect.
He is one of the two winemakers at St. Francis. Great to see you. Yeah, it's been like 4 years.
It has been. Yeah. I know, time flies. Yeah. We're having fun.
You're more handsome now than you were then.
That's what I tell myself every morning.
And I'm not gay or anything, but if you want to talk later.
Kind of reminds me of that Seinfeld episode.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. Yeah. How long? Give us your history as a winemaker, how you got into the business, and how long you've been there.
Sure, yeah. No, my days started in the early 2000s. I fell in love with winemaking at UC Davis, studying to be, you know, a science major, and veterinary medicine was what I really thought I was going to go down the road of, and then wine was placed in front of me, and I never turned back. Wow. And so, you know, from there, I've done some work in Napa Valley with Schramsberg Vineyards and Behringer Vineyards, and this great opportunity to set my feet down in Sonoma County came back in 2013 when I joined the winemaking team for St. Francis.
And the history of St. Francis, both of you can address that. I mean, it's been around. It's been iconic for a long time.
Yeah, I think Dan started it off beautifully with just, you know, the founder, Joe Martin, realizing that Sonoma Valley, this little valley that was, you know, unknown, would be this great place to grow fruit, and particularly saw it as a location that Merlot would thrive in. And so that's really what we built the brand on, and he built the brand on really as a vineyard, standalone, just selling grapes, and then ultimately became a winery after having success growing that fruit and, you know, his friends saying, hey, this is great. Great stuff. You should make some wine yourself. And that, you know, springboarded the business.
One of my favorite stories has nothing to do with wine, actually. It sort of does have something to do with wine. I was visiting St. Francis back about 89, I guess it was. I think it was 89 or 90. And I noticed that they were selling a little bit of vinegar in the tasting room. And I said, hey, Joe, what's this? He says, oh, he had a batch of Pinot go bad. What? He says, yeah, here, have some of this. He hands me a couple of bottles of this vinegar. We used it for the next 5 years. It's fabulous vinegar. It was one of the greatest vinegars I ever tasted in my life. I said, hey, you going to do this again? He says, no, it was a mistake. We're not a vinegar house.
So it was like a red wine vinegar.
Yeah, it was really delicious. Oh, I had bottles and bottles of that stuff. It was fabulous.
Wow. Yes. So we're tasting this St. Francis Shard.
Isn't that lovely?
It's amazing, and it's terrific. 2016. Talk about this one.
Right. Well, you know, no better way to start off start of a hot weekend than with a nice white wine here. And for us, Chardonnay is definitely one of these varietals that has become very important to us. And the team that really worked to capture what Sonoma County has, all that great bright fruit, but also find that nice acid, some minerality, some brightness to the wine that can really carry it through. So while it's traditionally barrel fermented, the acid level is definitely paid attention to, from the fruit level to the finished wine, making sure there's a crispness to it. Yet that richness that really stands out and says, hey, you're drinking a Chardonnay.
It's actually, the wine is based on its acidity. Normally, when you smell a wine of this richness and this exotic nature, you think to yourself, oh, this is going to be soft. It's not. It's crisp. It goes great with food. It will be a balanced wine for several years. I think about 3 more years, this is really going to be really in its heyday.
This
delicious wine.
Thank you. I keep turning my mic off. Anyway, yeah, this, I'll tell you, this is, to me, one of the most exquisite noses for a Shard that I've experienced.
Slightly tropical. Still has a little bit of that kiwi fruit or something somewhat exotic. What's interesting is that the acidity really comes in early. It's not sharp. It's just nicely balanced. It's beautifully balanced.
It really is good. 2016.
Mm-hmm. 2016, yeah. I mean, Chardonnay, again, you know, as the world, you know. You know, Chardonnay throughout the world, it's going to thrive, and you know, not it's still showing plenty of youthfulness and juiciness, and just really, you know, a great wine that's great year round. But you know, even in these warm days, you can chill it down, and it's a great glass of wine.
Barry Herbst, wine buyer from Bottle Barn, who's with us every week, texted us saying he's under the weather, but I want to mention that there's a lot of St. Francis wines available at Bottle Barn, probably.
Yeah, we're going to have two of them tonight. This Chardonnay is available. I was just there today, as I like to peruse the wine aisles at Bottle Barn at least every month or two. And so Sonoma County Chardonnay is available, and also our Old Vine Zinfandel, which we'll finish the show out as well with two great wines.
And that you mentioned the Zin and was one of Chris Silva's favorites.
Absolute favorite wine. So it was the Old Vine Zinfandel. Yeah, his eyes lit up and a big smile even got bigger when we were tasting Zinfandel at work.
Wow. Yeah, we miss him. Boy, I'll tell you. And again, we'll talk later about the event coming up to honor the life and times of Chris Silva, who passed away. Has it been 2 years?
No, we're coming up on 1 year.
Yeah, that's right. Marcy Smothers mentioned that. 1 year.
Yeah, 1 year now.
Okay. Dan, talk about the wines of St. Francis over the years and the different varietals.
St. Francis has made all of the popular varietals for several years. Cabernet Sauvignon, the Merlot was particularly popular. In fact, early on, it was the number one red wine in the portfolio.
As we've talked about before, I love Merlot.
Yeah, it's a
and
really
I still
delicious.
Do. Well, screw the movie Sideways.
Yeah, well, he had some. Joe had some really good vineyards, and he was really making a beautifully structured wine. There was a period there, probably I'm guessing about 95 or 97, when the Merlot became when St. Francis Merlot became so popular that it was hard to keep it in stock, and they were making as much as they could make, and they ran out, and whenever a winery runs out of a popular item, it causes problems for several years because you're off the shelf and you're not on the wine lists, and after a while everything's on allocation. But St. Francis was able to weather that storm and has come back really strongly. Tell us a little bit about what your Merlot program is like these days, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, the sourcing for Merlot is still coming from that original St. Francis vineyard planted in 1971 down there by St. Jean on Highway 12. And that's still the the most important source we've planted Merlot at the winery, just a few miles up the road, you know, a little bit closer to Santa Rosa. But from there, you know, reaching out with a small select growers as we look to do a little replanting of that vineyard to after, you know, these many years, there's been some items, you know, some things that we've seen out there that need some attention to, whether it be virus or just architecture of the vineyard, vine rows. So we're really actually reinvesting in what Joe Martin envisioned originally was this great piece of ground that could really grow Merlot in a great way. So we're going to hopefully, you know, the goal is to fine tune that and further bring his vision to life.
Now, even though Cabernet and Merlot are considered to be cousin varieties, they really do require slightly different climates and soils because they're different varieties. Cabernet is tough. The word Sauvignon means savage, and that means that it's tough as nails. Merlot really doesn't like to have very fertile soil. It wants to have really poor soils. It's harvested earlier. It's a trickier variety in some respects. And those winemakers who are making Merlot to taste like Cabernet, I think they're off on their own track. I think really good Merlot tastes pretty much like Merlot. And that's what I like.
Yeah.
Is Joe still with us?
No, Joe passed away a few years ago.
Okay. So he was around when that movie Sideways came out.
Yeah, definitely.
What were his thoughts on Merlot after being dissed in that movie?
You didn't want to hear it.
We couldn't say it on the radio.
You couldn't say it on the radio. All right.
The tricky part for Joe was that he had some loyal customers all around the United States for the Merlot, and they just laughed and laughed at that line because they said, no, they haven't tasted St. Francis Merlot, that's why.
Yeah, that was so weird. We've talked about it over the years. I don't know. I want to mention that Katie Madigan is the other winemaker over at St. Francis.
Correct, yeah, she's my partner in crime.
You guys split varietals, or do you work together on everything?
Right. Well, we work together on everything. But at the end of the day, if you come to the tasting room, you'll be able to taste her wine and my wines, and it's based on varietal. So while I'll be dubbed more the Bordeaux winemaker in terms of varieties, Katie handles our more Burgundian varieties, but also the Old Vine Zinfandel and all of our Zinfandel program as well.
Cool. This Chardonnay is blowing me away. What's the price point at the winery?
Yeah, you're looking at, you know, $18, $20. Yeah,
no, that's a real good value.
Holy crap, yes.
Well, you know, the problem for wineries trying to move their prices up and down whenever the quality gets this good is that they have a loyal customer from years ago, and they don't want to jump the price too much, but they can't afford to drop it when the quality is a little bit less. So they try to seek a median point that everybody can afford. This is really a bargain in a lot of ways because there are very few Chardonnays of this caliber that sell for this low.
Yeah, I believe that. And I know that as a Chard drinker and shopping around and such. That's a great price.
Yeah, I think that's something that we, you know, try to pride ourselves in. And we have the conversations daily about, you know, value and price point and delivering a wine that beats the expectation of the price point.
Right on. And, of course, it'll be a little less at Bottle Barn. You just want to. That's right. They're our sponsor on California Wine Country. But, this is really good stuff. Okay, what else? So you guys do events, obviously. Well, and again, we'll talk about the event for Chris Silva coming up. But
yeah, if you come out,
you
to
do some movie stuff.
We
don't
do.
You have movie
night? The summer times is alive with events in terms of in June, we do music on our. On our lawn out at the winery, in the tasting room, and visitor center on every Sunday. In July, we move into our movie series, which this year is going to be held on Tuesday evenings. And more information in the movie lineup can be found at our website. And then throughout the year, we have a food and wine pairing program that we're very proud of and, you know, has garnered awards from Open Table throughout the years. You know, top rankings, and so we like to bring that full experience to the customer who walks in the door to offer many, many varieties of opportunities.
And Sauvignon Blanc.
I'm a big fan of Sauvignon Blanc.
I know you are. So am I now,
well,
thanks to you.
Well, part of it, yeah. I think part of it, what's exciting about it is that when you started to see Kenwood Vineyards got into the Sauvignon Blanc game somewhat late, but they identified a style that really meant something for that particular region. We know plenty of other regions in Sonoma County do great things with Sauvignon Blanc, but it really is dependent on where it's grown, and that is so important. And
What's the best area in Sonoma County?
Well, I think you could make an argument for Dry Creek Valley being sort of the natural home. It was started there by Dave Stair, and so there are very few people who have a winery in Dry Creek not making it. So what's your thought about Sauvignon Blanc and where you sit with it?
Yeah, when it's asked, you know, what's the best place to grow Sauvignon Blanc, it's sort of asking who's your favorite child, if you have one. Because I think Sonoma County is diverse. We do a Sonoma County, and I'm always excited to see what these wines produce. I get fruit from Alexander Valley, Bennett Valley, Sonoma Valley, and Russian River Valley. And I think they each have their standalone positive benefits. I love Sauvignon Blanc. I mean, my wife and I drink Sauvignon Blanc 24. I guess not 24/7. That'd be the wrong way, but you know, year round,
24 hours a day.
I think it's just a wine that's so food friendly. It's inviting. It can find a place even in the cold months. And I'm a big fan of it. I tell a lot of people, you know, there's two favorite aromas in the winery that I find, and one of them, the top two, are fermenting Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah,
I think
when those grapes come into the winery, you want to be there.
Yeah,
because it's sitting in the truck even before they're pressed. This stuff is really heady stuff. I mean, the aromatics. I wish we could capture all of that.
Oh, yeah.
We could capture all that stuff. We could put it in a spray can. It would sell.
It would. If you got flavored water of Sauvignon Blanc, I think it would be a big hit.
I'd love it.
I'd use it as a cologne.
It's delicious, I'll tell you. And I've tasted the juice, and every now and then you taste that juice, you say, why can't we do this? Why can't we just make it? You know, it's very transitional. It's in the first day, you've got it, and then about 3 days later, it starts to dissipate. And by the time you get it in the bottle as wine, there are two ways to drink Sauvignon Blanc, young and old.
Me, really?
Yeah. Old, I love them. I mean,
Dan, lay it down. Burgers.
I've had them 20 years old. They're fabulous.
Wow.
But you have to be patient on that. You can't do it at 3 years. 3 years is like no man's land. Fresh and delightful, or wait 20.
I have no wine patience, so. But I love hearing you talk about it. We're going to take a break in a minute here. One of the things we're going to talk about on California Wine Country is the Open Table Diners. Open Table, a huge deal, and they come out with the 100 best restaurants in America. And the story about St. Francis, which is not a restaurant,
correct,
but has been named the number one restaurant in the country in
twice.
The past. Twice, yeah.
Twice.
This is such an amazing story, and we've talked about it. Chris Silva was with us many times talking about it, and you've been in before. Mm-hmm. So I want to go over that because it's just amazing when you say it'd be like if I had a TV show and I was named one of the 100 best radio shows or something to me. You know, I mean, it's just it's strange, but it's so cool, and we want to talk about that. Are we ready, Mike? Okay, we'll take a break. We'll be back on California Wine Country. Yeah, I'm just waiting for Apple to come out with a rotary dial iPhone. That's just mine. My little iPhone is from like the 40s or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
anyway,
tap the button. Operator.
Yeah. Oh, God. All right. California Wine Country with Dan Berger. Today we're featuring St. Francis Winery. Dude, you made this Merlot, and we were talking about Merlot earlier, and I love Merlot. This is one of the greatest Merlots I've ever had, and, you know, and during the break I was telling these guys, you know, I'm out and about in town, and people go, hey, I love the California Wine Country segment, but you guys are always saying how great it all is. And I said, well, of course. It's Sonoma County, and we only bring in the greatest people, the best of. Yeah, I mean, what do you know? Oh, today it's Ernie's Vineyard. Ernie's Winery. Ernie, this sucks. Sorry, Ernie. No, we bring in the best people, and that's why we enjoy this. Yes.
Well, I knew Merlot. I liked you for a reason. I knew it. Now I know why.
This Merlot, and is this a 2016?
No, this is 14. A 2014.
Oh, that's right.
2014. Yeah.
So it's had some time.
Both at the winery and in the bottle. And I think 2014, you know, personally, was a sleeper of a vintage coming off of a big 2013 vintage that really just threw winemaking for a loop in terms of what, you know, we'd seen in the past, the what we were getting in 2013. And 2014 just came in quietly, and we weren't quite sure how to handle it.
Was 2014 less, higher quality, but less
fruit.
Tonnage or less fruit or whatever?
A little less fruit, yeah, and I think the acid levels are really what drove 2014 to be a little bit differently, and which I think are allowing them to be so expressive and juicy and just a wonderful glass of wine. Throughout most of 2014s that I've had, they're just exploding right now in the glass.
This, as we talked earlier, and I'm a huge Merlot fan. Dan, run it down.
Well, this is I don't age Merlots anywhere near as long as I do Cabernet, because the tannin levels don't require it, but also because some of the beautiful characteristics of Merlot are early in their lives. If you lose, if you age them too long, you lose some of that. This one has got a little bit of the dried herb, and it's got a little tiny trace of black olive. But what I really like is that wild cherry component. And the cherry is right up front right now. But what's really fascinating is that as it airs out, and we're sitting in the glass for 15 minutes, and just 15 minutes it opens up and keeps opening up. And to me, this is exactly what a great Merlot should offer, not Cabernet by proxy.
Even though Cabernet, Merlot are sort of cousins.
Similar, they're cousins, yeah. But in this case, this is really Merlot the way Merlot should be. And there are plenty of other Merlots in this country that sell for a lot more money. I don't find them as interesting. This is more interesting.
St. Francis Merlot 2014. And, it's so good. But when you I hadn't thought about black olive until you mentioned it. The finish.
Oh, the finish.
That's where I got this huge black olive thing.
And a little bit of dried herb. I really like all the complexity that's in the wine. And it's so young. It's a 14. It's not even 4 years old yet.
So how long would you lay this down? Maybe 3 years?
Actually, if I had a bottle of this and wanted to drink it soon, I would decant it. I would just put it in a decanter and let it sit for about 3 or 4 hours. And then maybe splash it around the glass for a while, and then it will really begin to open up for you, and it won't lose any fruit that way. All it will do is be getting more and more complex. Now, if you want it age, I think 3 to 5 years, and you're home free. This is an easy one to put away for 5 years, and it will really reward the purchaser to do that.
Any thoughts on making this?
Yeah, I mean, 24. I mean, Merlot itself is one of the more finicky varieties, if you will. I think, you know, we approach it differently in the vineyard from the way it likes to grow. It's different than Cabernet, so you can address those early on so that you can capture the fruit and the herbal components that Merlot does naturally have, but really come into a balance as their own. And, you know, I for me, working with this fruit and Merlot in general is always fun because it is different than Cabernet. I think their Sonoma Valley puts its signature distinctly on this wine in showcasing some of those more savory herbal components that we don't want to run away from and just offer just pure fruit. We want to be, you know, showcase where this fruit is growing from, which is what we, you know, saw was a little bit cooler of a site. So you may see some herbaceousness, but in that really balanced, nice way that kind of complements the acid and the berry fruit that is in the wine.
How many Merlots are you folks making these days?
Right now we make 3 Merlots. That are standalone Merlot, and then it'll find its way into some of our mixed red blends as well.
Wow. So this one is a very premium bottling. Tell us a little bit about this. How many cases did you make and the price?
Right. So the price point is around $48 here at the winery, and we're doing about 8 to 1,000 cases a year, given on the vintage. You know, it spends about 20 months in barrel before we do bottle to really sort of help soften and further along combine those flavor components.
Is that typical?
Yeah, actually, because Cabernet is such a tough variety. It stays in barrel for 24 to 28 months.
Wow.
20 months for Merlot is about as much as you'd ever want to do because the tannins are not a problem. I mean, you've got this incredible fruit. You might want to capture that. So 20 months is plenty.
Yeah, I think capturing the freshness in the bottle is what you want to do. And so you're pushing that envelope there. And I love to blend in a little bit of maybe something else. And this one has a touch of Malbec in it as well. I think that really sort of helped deliver some of that mid-palate richness. It's not 100% Merlot,
okay.
But a little bit of a blender in there to really accentuate some of the fruit and spice component and, again, texture as well.
Outstanding.
I think that this is – so when people say that restaurants don't often carry Cabernets that have any bottle age, then look for Merlot because it's an earlier drinking wine anyway. And if it's a house that produces good quality Merlot, typically, that these wines will show a little bit more fruit when they're younger, and they will be – responsive to decanting. So make sure the restaurant that you're going into has a decanter or bring your own.
We've never talked about this, I don't think, but if you know that heading into a restaurant and you're ordering a specific wine that you know should be decanted, how do you deal with that?
Well,
if you're at a really good restaurant with a sommelier or something, you know.
Well, they're going to have a decanter, but we were in a situation in San Francisco about 5 years ago, and I said, we have a bottle of our own wine. That's no problem. We'll just charge you a little corkage. And no problem. I said, but we need a decanter. So the sommelier says, I'm sorry, sir, we only have two, and they're both in use. This is a fine quality restaurant, enough to have a sommelier, and they only have two decanters?
Oh, come on.
By some strange coincidence, we had a decanter in the back of my car.
So of course you did. You're Dan freaking Burger.
So I went and got my own decanter. He was laughing his head off, and it worked out great.
We talked about some events. You guys are doing the music.
Yeah, we're doing music in June. Yeah, we're moving on to movies next month.
Movies in July.
Kind of movies do you do typically?
It's a good mix of movies, some family friendly movies to a little bit more artistic approaches to them. So while you may see Jaws coming up this summer as well, we'll play with those fun movies as well to give a little bit. Really, the goal is to offer a little bit something for everyone and just come out to the lawn, have some wine, some food, dinner, bring the family, and just have a good time.
Tell everybody again, to me it's hard to believe that people don't know where St. Francis is, but in case somebody does, go ahead.
We're at the corner of Highway 12 and Pythian Road, right there at the base of Hood Mountain. Easy to find, nice sign. You'll see the visitor center, and off of there is our kitchen and lawn, and come have a great time.
It jogging is. Distance from Oakmont.
There you go.
I'm not sure that jogging at Oakmont is such a huge deal, but who knows? I don't know. Chris Louthan?
Luton.
Luton.
Yeah.
Okay, there's no H. I thought I heard an H. I thought you said Luthan.
We can go with that, though. No.
Luton. Chris Luton is one of the two winemakers at the fabulous St. Francis Winery. You okay?
Don't mind not knowing where I'm here.
Before we talk about this, we got to talk about once again about the open table diners who every year they do the 100 best restaurants in America. Twice, you guys, and I want to reiterate this for people just joining us in the 5 o'clock hour. I mean. Twice, well, for more than twice, you've been named one of the 100 best restaurants in America. Twice, the best restaurant in America. And you're not a restaurant. Explain this, because it's so amazing.
Well, it's the vision of bringing food and wine together, and that actually goes back to the fundamental basis of St. Francis and Joe Martin, and knowing that not only does the wine need to be good, but really it needs to be enjoyed with friends, and food goes right along with that. And so that's the goal. You know, it's more of a wine and food pairing, and maybe it's semantics, but food, wine and food. But it starts with the wine, and then the food is brought in to complement and bring out characteristics that you might not originally find in just a glass of wine itself. So the goal there is to bring as much local influence from the culinary world to match the local influence from the wine world.
It just blows me away that a place that is not a restaurant is twice named the best restaurant in the country.
That's wine is a food.
I agree.
All right. So when you combine wine with really high quality local ingredients, and that, when they say buy local, and they're talking about locavore and all this other stuff that everybody's talking about these days, we're dealing with flavors that are so fresh and so endemic to each region. I think that there is a compatibility. And what St. Francis has done is to merge a lot of this stuff so that the freshness, the delightful aromatics of fresh herbs and fresh tomatoes and all these other things that are growing here. I mean, no other wine region in the world that I know of besides Sonoma County can produce so many culinary things besides fine wine
and
then fine wine on top of it.
Right, exactly. Chris, talk about the head chef or the staff and how this all comes together. And I mean, come on. 2 years, best restaurant in the country, and you're not really a restaurant. So.
Right. I mean, you're just bringing in, you know, brilliant minds in the kitchen to, you know, our executive chef, Chef Brian Jones, has further, you know, really gone after sort of that don't you know, leave no stone unturned approach. That's how we approach winemaking. That's how we approach the culinary world and explore and challenge it and push the envelope and try something new. You know, we offer a lot of wines. I mean, we're making about 35, 36 different wines a year.
Jeez.
So the culinary program can pick and choose from those and really what's fresh seasonally from the garden, what's fresh, you know, seasonally from winemaking and pair those together.
And people who want to make this happen for them, their family, their whatever.
Yeah.
How do they get a hold of you guys? And
Open Table is a great way. I mean, it's the reason why we went to them in the first place is they helped sort of manage the booking system or come and call the winery directly. But really, Open Table has sort of furthered the ability to open up the reservation system to those who want to book. I would make the recommendation, honestly, to look weeks out, not days out, maybe months out.
That was my next question. If I want to take someone there, it should be, well,
right.
I don't have to worry about that because I just call Chris. And
that's right. We got a special table for you.
Okay, but for people who don't have a radio show, is it best to do like a month out?
It really is. You know, the seatings are limited. They're 3 times a day, 5 days a week. So we're closed on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. But you want to book that table, especially if you have a group of, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 friends and you all want to sit together at the same time.
Right.
That's the important part.
I'm sure
we've done.
Dan, you've done this.
Yeah, I did this a few years ago. It was just phenomenal. In a lot of ways, it doesn't really directly compare with the French Laundry, but in some ways it is. The concept of large plates has been abandoned in so many fine quality restaurants these days. When you go to any of the Starks restaurants, such as Bird in the Bottle or Willie's up in Healdsburg and those kinds of restaurants, small plates are really what it comes down to. And the more...
Which is a good thing,
it's
but...
It's great because you can eat so many different styles.
Exactly.
You don't have to have a massive amount of food. Now, I
exactly.
understand that some people say, I've heard this before from other people who say, well, you go to the French Laundry, you have to go out to have a pizza afterwards because there's not enough food there. Or whatever you say, the fact is the French Laundry food is...
How can you afford a pizza after dinner at the French Laundry?
Well, but the food is so good.
I know.
Well, this is what St. Francis is doing is trying to make an explosion of flavor both in the wine and the food, and the combination is greater than the sum of the parts.
Well said. Well said.
Well said.
Besides the music, at St. Francis. It's going on in June, and then, of course, in July. The movies. That's
correct.
Right. The movies.
Correct. Tuesday movies, and then throughout the year we're offering cheese courses on the patio. So if you just want to come out, enjoy some wine, enjoy some food and cheese pairings, we have that to offer as well.
Right on. California Wine Country. It's great to feature St. Francis Winery today. And Chris, all right, let's quickly talk about this Cab Franc. I wasn't aware that you guys were making this to talk about.
That's definitely why we brought it. Cab Franc is
Cabernet Franc.
Yeah, so Cabernet Franc is one of the noble Bordeaux varieties that you'll find in many sort of traditional blends, but generally not as a standalone varietal, because it is a challenging varietal that is dependent on where it's being grown. And for us, dependent on the season, we haven't been bottling Cabernet Franc every year consistently, because it reflects the vintage, a tough vintage, and Cabernet Franc could be a challenging wine to consume. But this is a 2015 Cabernet Franc that we just do, you know, maybe a couple hundred cases to a little bit more than that in each year, but something that's different, something that's off the beaten path, something that screams, I'm not Cab, I'm not Merlot, I'm something else. And for me, capturing the sort of candied violet and lavender component, that there's a floralness to Cabernet Franc that's void in Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, and Malbec, and Petit Verdot for that.
Dan?
It's a bit more exotic, and it does have a little bit of personality to it. But for right now, the wine is so young. I mean, I wouldn't drink.
Even I can tell this is young.
This is what I call the two-story wine. You get up onto the second story of your house, and you pour it into a decanter on the ground. Lots of air.
Yeah, good luck with that. I'd have to get my dog to go out and just lick the driveway.
The second story decanting process.
No, yeah. Okay, I understand. I'll tell you, and this is 2015.
So Dan hit it right on the head. Young, sort of a bruising wine, needs time, but is fun to explore these wines in their youth, so that as they age, you can sort of see that progression of flavor.
Zinfandel coming up.
So we're going to pour Zinfandel, too.
I got to tell you, the Cab Franc. I've never been a huge Cab Franc guy.
That's a good one.
And, I was just saying before the break that people come up to me out and about saying, you guys, you and Berger love every damn wine. And I go, because we only bring good wine people in. This one, I got to say, though, to any of you naysayers out there who have given me crap before, I don't like this.
You don't like the Cab Franc?
No.
It's too young.
It's too much for me.
Okay.
And I'm not a big Cabernet fan anyway, so.
No. Yeah.
But I can
taste. It's a polarizing varietal, which is kind of fun to throw it out there, right? It's not your average cup of tea. It's not going to be for the mass consumers, but it's going to be there, again, from a culinary aspect, too, to offer up a little bit something different of a profile.
Sure, I can understand.
Now we have St. Francis Old Vines Zinfandel 2015. And what's interesting about Zinfandel like this is it's pizza.
Now we're talking my language.
This is pizza.
Barbecue.
I thought you had some. All right.
No.
I think this is really good. Barbecue, pizza, whatever.
Yeah.
All right. Now, coming up on July 8th.
July 8th. Sunday, July 8th.
Explain it quickly to everyone, because we're running out of time.
Right. So Chris Silva, our president, who unfortunately passed away last year.
It was a year ago,
almost to the day now. Yeah. Had an envision of he loved being not just in the wine community, but helping the community out in total. And so the Santa Rosa Junior College Wine Classic, he helped start and really champion. And so I'm finishing this segment with the Zinfandel, because there was no wine that brought more smiles and happiness than Old Vine Zinfandel for Chris Silva. So this wine really embodies that. It's full of flavor. It's full of fun. And it goes with so many dishes. On the table. His favorite line was, it goes with everything at Thanksgiving, the turkey, the stuffing, the vegetables, and your difficult relatives. And I laughed every time he said it.
Yeah, that's perfect. You got some difficult relatives at Thanksgiving? Drink more of this. Dan, your thoughts. I mean, this is amazing, and God bless Chris Silva.
It has that ripe raspberry component.
Big time.
Then it has a little bit of the spice component from that varietal, And it's big and chewy and rich, but it's a fun wine. And you could chill this and serve this with barbecue food, and it would be fine. It's just delicious wine, not to be taken terribly seriously, but, boy, is it tasty stuff.
It really is. Chris, again, please reiterate, because we get a lot of thousands and thousands of people joining us after the 5 o'clock hour. What's going on at St. Francis and how to get there?
So St. Francis, we're at the corner of Pythian Road and Highway 12. We've got Sundays on the Lawn, Music on the Lawns, come and join us from 2 to 4 o'clock for live music. And in July, look at Tuesday evenings coming out to join us for movie nights. And throughout the year, come and join our food and wine, our wine and food pairing. And if you just want to come hang out and have a glass of wine, our cheese and food pairing, or just come out to the tasting room, have a good time and have the fun.
It's beautiful up there. Dan Berger and Chris Luton.
Correct.
I got
thank
it.
You.
Finally.
You got it.
Yeah, thank you. From St. Francis Winery. Go to the website. Check out all the great stuff they do and all the great wine they make.